Will everyone in the Missouri Center please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, yeah, I wrote, the tongue is the heart's pen and the mind's messenger. As we return home to be with loved ones and work with others around us, make us mindful, Lord, the power of what we say. Our words have tremendous impact on those who hear them, and we should desire never to bring hurt or pain from them. Assist us to always take a moment to think of what we will say and how they will be received by the listener, so our intentions are clear and positive. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Knobler, Pierce, Ferguson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumeyer, Smith, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright-Jones.
A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 12th day, Wednesday, January 28th, 2009.
Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with in the same, being approved as though having fully read.
You have heard the motion. As many as are the opinion, it shall prevail, say aye. And those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. No introduction? Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolution. Concurrent resolution. The senator from the first.
Mr. President, I move that House concurrent resolution number 5 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is before us.
Mr. President, I move that House concurrent resolution number 5 be third read and finally passed. Mr. President, before I speak in favor of this House resolution, which is the resolution for disapproving the recommendations of the Missouri Citizens Commission on Compensation for Elected Officials and Judges, I want to make it clear to this body that, and this may be hard for some to appreciate and accept, but I do believe that our statewide elected officials, the General Assembly, and our judges do deserve to have these raises. I think that the problem that we face at this time is the timing of this situation and the idea that we're going to be doing some very difficult things throughout this session. We are facing an economy.
So the senator can be heard. Take your conversations to the back of the Kirchhoff Gallery. Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. The economy that we're facing is going to necessitate some very difficult choices and decisions that this body is going to have to make in relation to cuts across state government. It's going to be a difficult time. And although I do believe, again, that these raises are warranted. I just think the timing could not be worse. And I would just question and challenge any of my colleagues in this body that this is not the time that we should be considering voting for raises for ourselves. I also question whether this commission, which officially consists of 22 members, it is my understanding when they met to deliberate these recommendations, they had 10 members meet. So I question whether these recommendations are even valid. So with that said, Mr. President, I certainly would entertain any questions at this time.
From the 11th.
President, I would rise to speak in favor of the reduction.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the Senator from the first bringing this forward in the Missouri House. We can talk at length about a whole variety of whether people deserve raises, whether they do or not. As the Senator from first indicated, this is the wrong time. And more importantly than that to me, and I'm going to talk very briefly, is the fact that fundamental to this country, whether we are at war or in recession or in times of economic downturn, which we find ourselves now, we are all in this together. And we need to remember that. The foundation of this country was that we would have, was based on the old Roman Republic, that people did this job for a while and they didn't make it a career and they went back home to their farms, or they served in the army and when the war was over they went back home. And that's why we have term limits now, because we have this concept that as elected officials we are just in this with everyone else. We all go up or down together. And unfortunately, we find ourselves all in a downturn. This would be the wrong message at the wrong time to the rest of the people of Missouri. We are all in this together. And I would just urge my colleagues to support this rejection. It is appropriate, it is proper, and it sends the right message to the people of Missouri that we're going to all come out of this, but we're going to do it together. And we fully recognize that with 214,000 Missourians out of work, with the economy in trouble, we will come out of this together. But this idea is the wrong message at the wrong time, done in the wrong way. Thank you.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to say I agree with both the Senator from the 1st and the Senator from the 11th. I think it would be inappropriate to take a pay increase at a time when dedicated state employees are losing their jobs.
Senator, the Secretary reminded me that I should have asked you for what purpose you rise.
I rise to make a comment on the resolution.
To speak on the, thank you. Proceed.
Thank you. Again, I think it's inappropriate at this time for anybody to take in state government, frankly, to be taking a pay increase when we're looking at the dedicated state employees losing their jobs. Some of the other difficult budget decisions we're going to have to make. But I do want to make a comment that in my opinion, it is fundamentally flawed to tie the pay raise of the judges to the pay raise of the legislators. And I think that those two things need to be separated, and I will do everything I can do to see that ultimately we get that changed and get that to a vote of the people to see if we can't correct that and separate that out. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Jasper, Arun.
To speak on the resolution.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I intend to vote for this resolution, and I agree with the remarks that have been made here this morning, but I do want to say a word about the work of the commission itself. I think that to recognize the reasons that we should act to deny ourselves a pay raise, we should express those views. But I think we need to be careful to do so in a way that does not disparage the work of the citizens who are called upon to act as a commission, who for no compensation met to consider what the state should do in terms of compensation for public employees, who had no control over the number of members that were sitting because they didn't have the power to appoint to fill vacancies, who were asked by the government of the state of Missouri to come together to consider these matters in a prudent way and to make reasonable recommendations. I believe they did good work. I believe their report is worthy of an expression of appreciation from the Missouri General Assembly and from the people of our state. And while I believe it's appropriate for us to act to make certain that we don't take a pay raise at the wrong time, I think it would be wrong to leave the impression that we do not appreciate the work of these citizens who were called upon to act in a way that I think was both noble and appropriate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I rise to speak on the motion.
Proceed.
Thank you. I do agree with the comments of previous colleagues made about we need to get this straight and separating ourselves from any other groups of state employees in this process. That's something I think we should work on as a result of this resolution that's coming before us today. I mean, for various reasons, we devalue our own work, and I don't agree with that because I think the legislature is a hardworking body. Many people support their families on what we make, and I don't. And I personally think that the years of devaluation of ourselves doesn't help us in the public eye. But I do think that we, because we are inclined not to value our contributions to the state government process, that we shouldn't drag others down with us. So I hope that this body will work to separate ourselves from the judges and any other, whatever we need to do to get ourselves separate and so we can be treated differently in this process. I hope that the attitude in the chamber about this pay raise doesn't extend to our state employees. In these hard economic times, we need them. We need them to be doing what they do to help others in these difficult times, whether it's more requests for assistance and in various departments. And I think now more than ever, we need to express the value of our state employees and not deny what is a part of the process of adjusting budgets may in fact include helping our state employees, some of whom do qualify for public assistance, and is another burden on the state. And if anything we can do to help the rest of our employees, I think we should put that in the calculation of how we deal with these difficult economic times. Thank you, Mr. President.
President, I rise to speak, I guess, in favor of rejecting the pay raise.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to echo the comments of both the Senator from Boone and the Senator from the 24th. Many of you know that I have fought hard to see that our judges get pay raises in past years, and in the urban areas in particular, we are reaching a time when it is becoming more and more difficult to find qualified jurists to serve. And so I will continue to fight with both the Senator from Boone and the Senator from 24th to make sure that we have those judges considered in pay raises with the rest of the state employees and not be tied to the raises of us as legislators. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the Senator from the First?
Does the Senator from the First yield?
I do.
He yields. You may inquire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, several years ago, I think when I was a new House member, I was having a conversation with another member of the House, and we came to an agreement that we were full-time legislators making part-time pay, and his position was that we should be full-time legislators making full-time pay, and mine was that we should be part-time legislators making part-time pay. That we created this bureaucracy, and every year we watch the statute books get a little thicker and requires a little bit more of our time if we work to try to get back to basics and work on things like biennial budgeting, that we could do things to make the government operate more efficiently, to where we could spend more time at home raising our family and spending time on our businesses. And is that something, do you have some similar thoughts?
Well, Senator, I guess I'm a little conflicted there. I mean, we've inherited, we find ourselves involved in a process that deals with, and I believe one of the most important things we do down here is our work in being a good steward of the people's money and our work in budgeting for the state and deciding what the state's priorities are. And when you look at a $22 billion operation, that's what state government is, that's a big task. Do I think that, I think the people are always in danger as long as we're in session. All right? So, you know, that's where the conflict is. You know, I always tell my constituents, you know, put your hand on your wallet because I'm going down to Jeff City, you know, and we'll be there from January to May. So there's a tension there. The problem is we've inherited, you know, a big system that we're, you know, the stewards of. So, you know, I don't know how you work out that conflict. I do believe, many of our colleagues have said here about those that sit on the bench, that if you're going to attract, you know, fine jurists, you're going to have to pay them an equitable salary. Now, where I might disagree with them is what is, you know, a fair and equitable salary. I would think that in maybe 40 out of the 45 circuits across this state, that judges and superintendents are the most highly paid individuals, you know, within those areas, right? That's a pretty good gig. And now in the others, in the urban areas, you know, there might be a little bit of an argument there. But likewise, I believe the idea that we ask our colleagues on both sides of this building to come down and invest, you know, roughly, you know, half of their year doing the people's business, and then when we're back in our districts, you know, it doesn't stop. I mean, I find it continues to intensify. As the more you make yourself visible in serving the people, the more the people know who you are and find you. So I don't know. I don't think I've answered your question, Senator.
Well, I know that the people that I work with here serve for the same reasons I do. They care about your community, and we care about the state, and we make big sacrifices. To do that, and we do this job not for the money, but for public service.
Correct.
It's the way that we can give back to the community in a way that we enjoy. I enjoy being here to get an opportunity to make a decision and improve the quality of life of the people that we serve. It's something I've enjoyed. But you know, we do make sacrifices, and the job always seems to require more and more time. And I don't know what your circumstances are, but it's difficult to manage your business and to find an employer that would hire someone who will be gone 4 days a week for 5 months a year, and then of course the other demands of the job. And you know, I just have great respect for the people that I work with, and think that we make great sacrifices. I appreciate you offering this resolution. Like you, I agree that now is not the time. I do agree with you on the judicial branch. As far as we're concerned, I just want to acknowledge the effort that we put in and the sacrifices that we make to be here.
And our families make also.
Agreed. I always say that my wife is the one who really gets the short end of the stick.
Likewise, you know, I had to break it to my wife that she's going to have to get a third job because I was going to have to vote against this. This pay increase.
I got while I'm up here, my wife is getting dinner on the table and making sure the kids are doing their homework, getting to all their activities. And so I can't wait to get home today. I know others can't either, so I'll sit down and be quiet.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to speak briefly on the pending resolution. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just want to clarify something, because I don't think that we deserve pay increases that we can't afford to give in these tightening times. But I also want to make sure that the people understand what, you know, we're talking about as far as money. We do not get paid what the guys in Washington, D.C. get paid, the guys and gals in Washington, D.C. get paid. And I think that's a really good thing. Because the folks in Washington, D.C., if you're just a regular member of Congress, you get paid around $174,000. If you're the Speaker of the House, you get to run around on a Gulfstream jet and make over $200,000 a year, and other members in the leadership, unless my glasses are failing me here, my eyes are failing me, they're making $190,000 a year. We here in the Missouri General Assembly make in the 30s. I'm not complaining about that. Nobody put a gun to my head to run for office, but I just wanted to be known that we in Missouri happen to be one of the top states as far as being fiscally responsible, and we stand, because of that fiscal responsibility, better able to withstand hard economic times than most any other state in the nation. These are the folks who've been spending like a Melba Marcos drunk at a shoe store that's messing us up, and they're paying, they're getting about $200,000 a year. So I would just like it to be said that we're doing pretty good on our $30-some thousand a year. They're making $200,000. I don't want us confused with them in any way, shape, or form. Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from St. Clair is on his feet.
To inquire the senator from the 24th.
Does the senator from the 24th yield? I don't see her in the chamber. Oh. Senator from 24th. The request is, do you yield to the senator from St. Clair?
You.
Proceed.
Senator, I thought it was interesting your comments that we should separate the judges from the legislators.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if you had any suggestion on how to do that.
Well, actually, in the Rules Committee yesterday, we talked about this because someone had handed me an idea. But I believe that the idea that came to me was sort of in the form of a resolution. And I'm not sure if we actually have to go back to the Constitution. Do it, or if we can actually do it, we could do maybe a resolution in the House and the Senate and ask them to not include it.
If I remember right, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, we sent a resolution to the body,
to the
voters to change the Constitution, to put us together again, actually. And not that I'm picking on you, but you've been here a long time. What year did you come to the House?
I was elected in 92 and arrived in 93.
Okay, I came in 85.
Right, you are the senior, you're the man.
And do you remember how cost of livings were done for many, many years up until maybe 2000?
What do you know? Well,
when I came, the pay for legislators was $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't been raised for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And at that year, I came in a special election in June of 85. And prior to the time that I came in that session, they actually had a vote to have a pay raise and raise the salary from $15,000 to $18,000.
Right.
And
that
really is the only vote to raise the pay in the last many, many years. But prior to that time, they would let it go for many years and then have to vote a pay raise. And so at July 1st of 85, it went to $18,000. But at that time, they also instituted a plan that legislators would be treated the same as all state employees,
mm-hmm.
and that if state employees got a 2% pay increase, legislators got a 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So there has not been a vote to have a pay raise, and I know we're quibbling on terms here,
right,
where the difference between a cost of living and a pay raise.
Right.
But across those years, from 85 to, I'm going to say, 2000, when we stopped getting them because of the financial, and state employees didn't get any. We were tied with state employees.
Right.
They got 2%, we got 2%.
Right.
Somewhere along that time, somebody got the smart idea that we ought to have a pay an employee commission.
Right.
The representative, I think Representative Thompson, maybe. And we voted to have a commission to put the pay raises out of the legislature. And then it just, between lawsuits and sending most of the people to try to get around having to vote your own pay increase, it's got really convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we are in with the judges, whether we like it or not.
Right.
And actually, we sent that out to the voters 4 years ago.
I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense either. I think the old way made a lot more sense.
Right.
And but I thought it was important that the body understand from some folks that have been here a while how it has come from where it was to where it is. And there, I think the raise that we got the 1st of January is the first for 8 years probably.
I believe it's 8 years.
Except for a $600 at one point in that process.
Did we even get that?
We did at one point. I know
that.
The years get by pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you that to separate them would be great, to separate us from the judges and go back to the old way. I don't assume that will ever happen because after next year, nobody will ever remember how it was done at that time.
Well, so are you suggesting that actually we, may I inquire of you?
Certainly.
That, in fact, the old way before 94 or whenever this thing, 95, that was actually a better way.
Well, you know, what the result of it was that legislators were treated exactly like state employees.
Right.
No better
yeah.
or no worse.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I wasn't in the power structure. I wasn't the great minds that came
I'll
up.
I'll assure
with
you, 18 years in the minority of the House,
right.
I wasn't.
You weren't there either. We were about the same down there in the same little lifeboat. I think that there was this idea that voting for House Bill 12 was a vote for a pay raise, and that was going to be used against you. Now, the other thing is that I'm not clear that anybody can actually document that's why somebody lost an election.
A personal story with you that I don't share with a whole lot of people, but I will now.
Now you're going to.
I came up with that mindset. If I voted for House Bill 12 as a House member from a conservative area of the state, I would never survive the next election. And I had been here probably, I don't know, 4 years, 6 years, and realized that I had voted for House Bill 12. And this is 2 or 3 days after the final vote was taken.
Uh-huh.
And I went to then Chief Clerk Doug Burdett. He said, Doug, I was desperate because I knew that I would get beaten in the next election. Can I change my vote? He said, no. In those days, we could change the next day in the journal.
Right.
And he said, the only way to do that is go to talk to the Speaker of the House, Bob Griffin. And that was a terrifying experience also for a minority member.
Oh, yeah.
And,
for a junior Democrat.
But I was more afraid of my constituents. Mm-hmm. And so I made the trek to the top of the dais where I had never been and told him my dilemma. And he said, no, you Republicans need to change your thinking. It is not a pay increase. It's a cost of living increase. People in Social Security get a cost of living increase. Everybody understands cost of living. State employees get the same thing you do. And you need to change your thoughts. And
you're still here.
I'm still here. And from that time on, I did not get to change my vote.
Mm-hmm.
But consequently, after that, I agreed with him, and the people do understand. But so
they do.
That's not going to change today's vote.
No, it's not. But I wish we could work to get back to that.
And actually, the judges came to us 4 years ago or 3 years ago and asked us to put this resolution, the resolution under which we are governed now, that ties us together, to put us together, so that it would be easier for the judges to get a pay increase. And I don't disagree that they need it. But now we won't separate it if we're stuck.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I appreciate the inquiry.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that illumination.
Wish to be heard on the motion of the senator from the first. Seeing none, the senator from the first is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am reassured by the tone of this body that we're going to do the right thing here today. I certainly believe that the discussion for another day on whether we should be separated from the judicial branch is a discussion for another day. We are still the appropriators of the people's money, and it's very important for us to be involved and in control of that process. With that, Mr. President, I close.
From the first renews his motion on adoption of the concurrent resolution. Call the roll on third reading of the resolution.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 5, relating to disapproving the recommendations of the Missouri Citizens Commission on Compensation for Elected Officials. Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nadler, Pierce, Ferguson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumacher, Smith, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright Jones,
by one no, the resolution is adopted. The senator, without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. The senator from St. Francois.
President, could we go back to the order of business of introduction of guests?
Introduction of guests.
I could have swore that we had some senators that wanted to introduce guests. You have to be on the floor to be able to do that. So I was surprised we passed that last bill. I thought we'd wait to see if the stimulus package had some money in there for us. But
is there a business of introduction?
May I inquire of the senator from the first? I do.
I just, Senator St. Clair reminded me of something that I thought was an important historical note. When the resolution came before the Senate to establish the standard by which we would reject the recommendation from the commission, came over to the House at 50%. So all we had to do is a simple majority. I added the language that moved it up to a two-thirds majority, and the judiciary and everybody in the hall said that that was too high a standard. I think, if I'm correct, we just passed that 34 to nothing. So 33 to 1. Who was the one? I'm sorry. Excuse me. I didn't mean to discount the senator from the 24th. I just thought that was kind of a nice historical note that two-thirds was impossible, and it ended up being 33 to 1. Congratulations on your first resolution.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
After closer scrutiny, the chair will announce that the vote was 32 to 1, not 33 to 1, as I was first informed by those in front of me. The senator from Jasper.
On the order of business of introduction of guests.
We are.
I do have a special guest to introduce, Mr. President, Dr. Richard D. Barlay and Pam Barlay from Carthage, Missouri. Dr. Barlay is being recognized. We have a resolution unanimously passed here in the Senate recognizing Dr. Barlay for holding a license in the practice of dentistry in our state for 50 years. And I would ask that the members of the Senate make Dr. Barlay and Pam Barlay welcome.
Would the guest, the senator from Jasper, please rise for recognition of the Senate? Further introduction, guest. Senator from the 10th. 9th, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a special guest that I'd like to introduce.
Proceed.
It is my great pleasure to introduce to my colleagues a dentist who was a classmate of mine, and we sat in English literature together, and after graduation, we went on our separate ways. He became a dentist, and for 50 years, he has been a Missouri licensed dentist and has served as my dentist over those 50 years. It's my pleasure to present to you Dr. Siri Myers. Please welcome Dr. Myers.
Would the Senate welcome the painless dentist from the night. and heavy on the panelists. We're still on introduction of guests. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an introduction of a special guest.
Proceed.
Also in line of the dentists who have practiced in this state for 50 years, I would like to introduce Dr. William Moorcamp, if he would stand up for the body to see. Thank you. He has practiced both in the public and the private sector, including private practice and time in the Air Force Dental Corps and in the Missouri Correctional Facility. He has been married to his wife, Carol, for 51 years. They have four married children and 13 grandchildren. Welcome, and I hope the body will give him our appreciation for his service.
We welcome the guests from the Senator from the 7th, another painless dentist. Further introduction of guests. Seeing none, Senator from St. Francois.
If we would go back to where we were in the order, which was, I believe, concurrent resolutions.
We're on to go back to the order of business, concurrent resolutions. Seeing none, introduction of bills. Holy cow. We'll go the Senator from the... the 10th. Doggone it. It's going to take me a while. Senator from the 10th.
Thank you, please, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send it forward, Senator, and Madam Secretary, when the bill arrives, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 268, introduced by Senator Justice, an act relating to the Missouri Housing Trust Fund.
Mr. President, may I explain the bill?
1 second. Yes, would you care to explain your bill?
I would, thank you. Mr. President, this summer I had the opportunity to serve on the Senate Select Committee on the Missouri Housing Trust Fund, and we took testimony in both Kansas City and Jefferson City on the crisis situation that we have right now in the housing industry. We all know what's happening with foreclosures. We know what's happening with people becoming homeless. Right now, the biggest increase in homeless in the state of Missouri is women and veterans, and so this couldn't come at a more important time in our history. The one thing I also heard, though, I heard from those people who are involved in the real estate industry, from those in the home building industry and others, who said the money that we currently bring in to the Missouri Housing Trust Fund, it goes to just homeless services. It doesn't go to home ownership. And so that's something that I looked at this year when I filed this bill. And the bill that I filed today, to me, represents a possible compromise, because all the new money goes towards home ownership programs. It does not go to traditional homeless shelters, those people that we may not know whether they will ever be owners of homes. Instead, it goes to affordable housing, and it goes to home ownership programs. So it's my hope that my colleagues will take a look at this bill and look at it in the spirit of compromise in which it was drafted and filed, and I look forward to working with this body to getting it passed this year. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. It's the junior senator from St. Charles was next seeking recognition.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking for the junior senator from St. Charles. He's not in the chamber. Mr. President, I have introduction of a bill.
Send your bill forward, Senator. And Madam Secretary, when the bill arrives, please read the bill. And by the way, that could be by age two. So.
Senate Bill 269, introduced by Senators Roop and Cunningham. An act relating to captive insurance companies.
Senator, care to explain the bill? Senator from 24th. Please send your bills forward, Senator.
Thank you.
And Madam Secretary, when the bills arrive, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 270. Introduced by Senator Bray, an act relating to campaign contribution limits.
Senator, care to explain your bill?
Ms. President, this would just help restore the public faith in elected officials.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Nottoway. Oh, excuse me, second bill. Sorry, Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 271, introduced by Senator Bray, an act relating to senior citizen homestead deferral of taxes.
Senator, care to explain your bill?
It is self-explanatory. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
President.
Thank you, Senator. Now we will get to the Senator from Nottoway.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Please send your bills forward, Senator. And Madam Secretary, when the bills arrive, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 272, introduced by Senator Lager, an act relating to water pollution permit fees.
Senator, care to explain your first bill?
Thank you. Right now, the Water Clean Water Commission has the ability to charge fees. That actually sunsets on December 30th of 2009. This would extend it for 1 year.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 13, introduced by Senator Lager, an act relating to the Common Sense Obligation to Provide Accountability and Spending Stabilization Act.
Senator, care to explain your second bill?
I'm still committed to slowing the growth of government, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward, Senator. Madam Secretary, when the bill arrives, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 273, introduced by Senator Engler, an act relating to the death penalty for littering.
Senator, care to explain your bill?
Yes, I would, Mr. President. I am sick of littering in my district. I have the prettiest district in the state of Missouri. Anybody wants to argue with that, I'd be happy to take you on. But since the PSA wouldn't let me record my announcement about white trash in my district, We're going to have this bill. I think that if we kill just a couple of the people we catch, the rest will catch on. I am sick of every week having to pick up litter in the state. It's a problem. It's a terrible problem. I'm doing this tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But we've got to come up with something that when people are rolling down their windows and throwing out sacks of trash from McDonald's or other fast food, there should be a penalty. When they're doing it with their kids in the back seat, they're teaching them to be white trash, and I'm sick of it. These dumb rednecks I got in my district that throw it in the back of their truck, expecting it not to blow out, and then they just drive down the road. So I think killing one or two of them would be a fine first start, and then the rest will fall in line, because they tend to understand that. So, Mr. President, I tell you what, if I get unanimous consent, I think I'm going to make that a little tougher. And so if you would send that back, if I could get unanimous consent.
The senator has requested unanimous consent to have his bill sent back. Hearing no objection, Senator, the bill will be so sent back. Senator from Cape was
Thank
was
you, Mr.
in
President.
Line.
I have a bill. No explanation.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, when the bill arrives, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 274, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the issuance of Missouri Development Finance Board Development Fund contribution tax credits.
Senator from the 14th, the next thing to recognition.
Mr. President, I would like to ask unanimous consent of the body to introduce special guests, please.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, on my right in the upper gallery and on your left, I'd like for the body to recognize the leaders of the Family and Community Trust Board. They're better known as the FACT Board. They represent the 21 community partnerships across the state of Missouri. They have a social hour with ice cream and whatever. We don't need that, but we need to go out and look at them and see what kinds of services they do offer. They have given us an 8-to-1 return on the state's investment in these partnerships, and I would like for them to stand and for the body to make them welcome, please.
Would the guests from the Senator from the 14th stand for recognition from the Senate? We are on the order of business of introduction of bills. Senator from the 11th.
President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward, excuse me, Senator and Madam Secretary. When the bill arrives, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 275, introduced by Senator Callahan, an act relating to higher education tuition.
Senator, care to explain your bill?
Mr. President, this does with the MOHELA Act, with the MOHELA asset, what we should have done in the beginning. It takes the remaining Lewis and Clark Discovery Fund and puts it in tuition reduction. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction to bills. Seeing none, Senator from St. Francois. There he is. Senator for St. Francois. Senator from the 9th, what reason do you seek recognition?
To respect request unanimous consent to introduce special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was not aware that the family of Dr. Siri Myers was here and had made the trip from Kansas City to be with them. I'd like to introduce the family. The wife of Dr. Myers, the daughter of Dr. Siri Myers, and the son of Dr. Siri Myers. He has other children in dentistry, a daughter and a son, and they practice children's dentistry as well.
Thank you,
please,
Senator.
Join me in welcoming them.
We welcome the guest from the Senator from the 9th today. Senator from St. Francois.
Would you take us to the order of business of reports from standing committees?
Reports of standing committees. Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Saline.
Your Committee on Transportation has a report.
Send it forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, to which was referred Senate Bill 31. Begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 128, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Stouffer, Chairman.
We're on the business of report of standing committees. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report from your Gubernatorial Appointments Committee.
Please send your report forward, Senator. And Madam Secretary, would it arise? Senator Buchanan, may the chair require you?
Yes.
Do you request that a waiver of the reading?
Yeah. Okay. Mr. President, I appreciate that, would request a waiver of the reading. These are all the gubernatorial appointments came out of committee with the exception of Linda Martinez. Would request unanimous consent for a waiver of the reading before the body, and I would move that the Senate give its advice and consent to these appointments in one vote.
The senator from Buchanan has moved that the reading be waived and that the motions be taken up in one, all the appointments be taken up in one motion. Hearing no objection, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report be adopted.
Senator Buchanan has moved for the adoption of the committee report. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
Senator Buchanan has moved for the adoption of the committee report. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee report is approved.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now I have another report from your gubernatorial appointments committee.
Please send your report forward, Senator. Do you ask for that to
be read? Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent for a waiver of the reading.
Okay. Nope.
Nope.
Senator, the chair would like to advise this one needs to be read.
Knock yourself out.
Okay. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred the following appointment: Linda M. Martinez, 1517 Washington Avenue, No. 8, St. Louis City, Missouri, 63103, as Director of the Department of Economic Development for a term ending at the pleasure of the Governor and until her successor is duly appointed and qualified. Begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate do give its advice and consent to said appointment. Respectfully, Senator Shields, Chairman.
Senator Buchanan.
Recognize Senator from the 5th for a motion.
Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Linda Martinez, just a minute, be considered by this body for appointment as so designated as Director of the Department of Economic Development.
Thank you, Senator. The Senator from the 5th has moved for the adoption of the committee report, which is the approval of Linda Martinez. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Nottoway. For what reason do you seek recognition?
I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 5th.
Senator from the 5th, do you yield?
Absolutely.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you. I rise today not to kill the confirmation of Linda Martinez, not to oppose the confirmation of Linda Martinez, but to simply ask for the postponement. And for the body's information, here is where we are. As everyone knows, it should not surprise anyone that I have clearly taken a stand and been very concerned about our use of tax credits. The director of DED will have the largest and the greatest impact of any appointment that comes through this chamber on how that's going, how we are going to do that going forward, how DED is going to use credits, incentives, all of those types of things. I've met with Ms. Martinez almost 5 times now. I find her to be a very intelligent, a very capable, and a lady that has handled herself with remarkable character. So I have no derogatory comment. One of the things that I ask of Ms. Martinez in our early meeting, I actually asked for several things, and she provided them all except for one. The one thing that I asked for was a list of all the clients that she has worked for the last 12 months. So any potential projects that have been put before DED that may still be pending. And my belief is this. If that is the case, we have a current project pending before DED where Ms. Martinez was the lawyer, and now she becomes the director. I do not want there to ever be an appearance of a conflict. I believe that now more than ever, we are in an environment where we not only compete nationally, we compete globally for jobs. I believe, and I have no reason to believe, that Ms. Martinez will do anything but the right thing. When I asked for that list, one of her concerns, and concerns also shared by many of the lawyers in this body, which has now convinced me we have too many lawyers in this body, is that, quite simply, there is a concern about her ability to disclose who her clients were for ethical reasons. I respect that, and I do not want to put her in a bad situation. And so what I have done is I issued a sunshine request to the Department of Economic Development, Missouri Development, Finance Board, as well as the Missouri Housing Commission. And all I've asked for is for them to please provide me a list of any client that Ms. Martinez would have worked for in the last 12 months. They have been absolutely wonderful. No one is objecting to the list. I met with Ms. Martinez at 9 o'clock this morning, shared with her what my plan was to do here today, and shared with her that once I have the list, which I believe will be early next week, hopefully that will give me my comfort level, and at which point we can move forward. So I do not wish to stand here and filibuster this appointment or engage in the process that the senator from the 8th had to use. I know that it is Thursday, early in session, and we all enjoy an early departure. But I do believe that it is imperative that we are diligent about not just this appointment, about every appointment. I believe one of the responsibilities that we have as a member of this body is to ensure that we do everything in our power, for lack of a better term, to ensure transparency in government, to ensure a governmental entity that everyone is using is comfortable with what that is. I believe that just as President Clinton put forth his list of donors, for lack of a better term, I don't think it's unreasonable for DED to share with us the folks that Ms. Martinez has represented in the last 12 months. And so with that, again, I am happy to share any insight, or if you have any questions directly with me, I'm happy to answer it, or anyone else of the body. Again, I just believe right now there are still a few questions unanswered. I would like to have that opportunity to look at that list once it's provided. Again, I hope to be early next week. And at that point, hopefully we will all have that comfort level and we can move forward. Again, for me personally, I just want to make sure everyone understands. I believe Ms. Martinez is a good individual. I believe she has the potential and very well may be the right person at the right time to help work through some difficult challenges in this state. And I guess I'm asking for this body's endurance and their patience and a postponement of this confirmation. And if that's something that you could find in your heart to do, I would request that you just withdraw your motion, allow me the opportunity and the time necessary, and then hopefully in the very near future, we will be able to come back.
To speak on the motion, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate your comments, Senator. I just only hope that we can resolve this as quickly next week as we can so that Ms. Martinez to move forward and do things inside the department that I know need to happen timely and also have a great impact on the state and the economy of the state. Are you feeling as though you will receive this information Monday,
yes. Tuesday? Well, excuse me. Yes. Excuse me, Senator. I hate to interrupt you, but you asked to speak on the motion.
I'm sorry.
If you're going to inquire, then you need to make the motion.
Mr. President, I believe I still have the floor. She made the motion. I asked to inquire of her. I never relinquished the floor from my inquiry.
Yes, Senator, I believe you did ask for inquire to the senator from the 5th. You remain, and yeah, chair was incorrect in that.
Although you did recognize her to speak, I never was finished, so I will, if it's okay with you, Mr. President, I would like to go back to where I am still inquiring.
Let me inquire. Senator the 5th, do you wish to inquire, continue your inquiry?
I would like to just complete that particular query. And
proceed. My apologies for that, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just as I was saying, in order for Ms. Martinez to get on with the business of the department and make sure that we're timely in responding to the public or whatever requirements there may be, do you expect to have this information Monday or Tuesday of next week, and do you think that will sufficiently answer your concerns?
Actually, this morning I spoke with one of the folks over at DED. They believe they will be able to provide it. They were hoping late today or tomorrow. I spoke with Bob Misery at the Missouri Development Finance Board. He assured me they would get it immediately to us. I met with Pete Ramsell yesterday. He did not believe it could be a problem as well. I see no reason that we should not be provided the information in a very timely fashion. And again, it's much like when judges apply for a judicial appointment, whether it's employed by the Supreme Court, whether it's an appellate court, they simply list all of their cases.
Yeah,
and I'm just saying, let's list these. And I also, for your information, as well for the members, this morning when I met with Ms. Martinez, she came by to find out if she could answer any questions herself or work through any of these challenges. And I said, listen, you know, I am not trying to be difficult in this process. I just want to make sure I have a comfort level there. I asked her if there's anything that the appointment, the confirmation would allow her to do in the future that she's not able to do as an interim director. She shared with me that her only deal is once the confirmation is done, she can stop spending time walking these halls and get down to work. And I said, listen, I don't believe she and I need to meet anymore. And so from that perspective, I have asked her to get to DED and continue her job as the interim director. And if it's okay with you, again, I am just asking for a little bit longer to work through. So, Mr. President, thank you.
Mr. President, may I once more speak?
Senator, you have the floor.
I certainly appreciate the Senator's concerns. And again, I think Ms. Martinez is very well qualified to lead this department. It's my honor to bring her before this body for consideration. I certainly hope that we can resolve it next week so we can move on beyond this particular issue. And I would withdraw my motion, ask this body to consider the withdrawal of the motion.
Okay,
is that a separate? That's a separate request.
Yes. Yes. You've asked the motion to withdraw,
yes.
And the motion will be withdrawn.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Senator from the 34th, Buchanan.
Send me that report back.
Madam Secretary, please send the report back. Senator from the, well, Senator from St. Francois was next seeking recognition.
Senator from the 11th.
Senator from 11th, do you yield?
Maybe we'll save a stopper.
Okay, he does.
I saw where you stood up and inquired. We have, if she was willing to do that, she has to send it back, he has to send a report. It would be
right.
My intention that if the President Pro Tem will send that report back next week, that we would go ahead and take it in and take up a discussion of that nominee at that point.
And I appreciate that. One of our members was asked to respect this body, and our caucus was asked to respect this body. And I just wanted to clarify with the Senator from Nottoway that when I assume that you as Majority Floor Leader, if there is a member of the minority party in this body that has an objection to someone of somewhere, that we would give the same latitude.
I would hope that individual would be treated the same fashion. That's why I wanted to kind of explain to you and the Senator that it is our intention to go with. Now, understand here, that doesn't say that we're going to take it up and everybody needs to sit down and be quiet. He doesn't get to say anything. At that point,
right.
We will have let every senator speak
right.
on that subject. But it would be my intention then to hear them all out and then to have a vote on it.
Yeah, and Senator, the only thing I wanted to clarify was that the same
courtesy.
We are given the courtesy of filibustering for 7 hours, but I just wanted to make a new senator aware that she is given a courtesy that I want replicated and reciprocated.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
We were on the business of reports of standing committees. So I'm going to go back to the Senator from St. Francois.
Yes, Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Would you recognize?
Announcements. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you. Actually, not an announcement, but I need to do a couple referrals. Give the Secretary of the Senate time to rush up to the desk. Refer Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics.
The bills will be so referred, Senator. We are on the business of announcements. Senator from the 5th, excuse me.
Thank you. I have an announcement, Mr. President. I'd like to remind the body that next Wednesday, February the 4th, is Go Red Day for the American Heart Association. I would encourage the body to wear something red in that manner. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Announcements. I do have a chair has an announcement unless you're going to close. Okay. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Senator.
Let me explain what's going to happen. The President Pro Tem, I assume here, is going to assume the dais real quick here and sign the joint resolution. And so we're not going to have to go into recess. We're going to be able to close it down here just in a few minutes. right. And until Monday. So that I just thought I'd let you know what's happened while he was gone.
All right, thank you. The chair would like to announce that next Thursday, upon adjournment in the Senate lounge, there will be a 911 meeting with all of the interested parties involved on the 911 cell phone tax issue. Any senators that would like to be involved in that, like to attend, and any interested parties, we welcome you to the meeting. That would be upon adjournment next Thursday in Senate lounge.
Let all other business of the Senate be suspended so that House concurrent resolution number 5 may be read at length by the Secretary, and if no objections are made, be signed to the end that it shall have the full force and effect of law. Secretary, read the resolution.
House concurrent resolution number 5, relating to disapproving the recommendations of the Missouri Citizens Commission on compensation for elected officials.
Hearing no objections, the concurrent resolution is so signed. And let it be noted, I never thought the first act that I would actually sign was to take myself out of a pay raise.
Announcements. Senator from St. Francis.
Does the President Pro Tem have any more referrals, bills to refer? Yes, then that's the order of business. Second readings.
Second read. Set of bills for second reading. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 238.
Senate Bill 238, an act relating to the determination of Missouri adjusted gross income for tax purposes.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 239.
Senate Bill 239, an act relating to compensation of senior judges and senior commissioners.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 240.
Senate Bill 240, an act relating to regulation of contract carriers that transport railroad employees.
Transportation, Senate Bill 241.
Senate Bill 241, an act relating to taxation.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 242.
Senate Bill 242, an act relating to sewer subdistricts.
Jobs, Senate Bill 243.
Senate Bill 243, an act relating to the sale of deficiency waiver addendums and other similar products associated with certain loan transactions.
Financial, Senate Bill 244.
Senate Bill 244, an act relating to personal care services for certain disabled adults.
Health, Senate Bill 245.
Senate Bill 245, an act relating to the notification of data security breaches.
Commerce, Senate Bill 246.
Senate Bill 246, an act relating to regional economic development initiatives.
Jobs, Senate Bill 247.
Senate Bill 247, an act relating to county ordinances establishing minimum standards for residential occupancy.
Jobs, Senate Bill 248.
Senate Bill 248, an act relating to the imposition of a transient guest tax by certain municipalities.
Jobs, Senate Bill 249.
Senate Bill 249, an act relating to corporate filings with the Secretary of State.
General Law, Senate Bill 250.
Senate Bill 250, an act relating to the Stop HIV/AIDS in Prison Act.
Financial, Senate